If tonight's your first night with us, allow me to express to you how appreciative we are that you came and joined us. We're the Northwood student family. We're glad you're here. For those of you guys that regularly attend with us, God wants to speak to you tonight. God wants to speak to you. Is that good news? Okay, let me say that again. God wants to speak to you tonight. Okay, we got like 9 people in here excited about that. God wants to speak to you tonight. That's what he told me. That's what he told me. God wants to speak to you tonight. Let's pray. Bigger than all the universe. More powerful than 1 million men. Much greater wisdom than every book ever written. Never messed up. Never flawed. You, God. That's what you are. And you want to speak to me? Lord, allow me to be the first tonight to say that that doesn't make any sense at all. I deserve your judgment. We deserve it. I read your Bible. I learn that you don't want that for us. Like no father wants punishment for his own child. But rather, you want to bring us to yourself and heal us, to change our thoughts, to utterly transform our minds and our actions. You want to speak to us. Not for warm fuzzies, not for just good conversations or wow factors, but to change us from the very depths of our being. Thank you for loving me that much. Thank you for loving my brothers and sisters that much. Father, thank you for Jesus, who you sacrificed to bridge the gap between me and you, between Taylor and you, between Josh and you. All of us. Speak now. Have your way in us. In Jesus' name, amen. So God wants to speak to us, but here's the thing. Why? So what, right? You got busy lives. You got a lot of stuff going on. So what? Why would God want to speak to us? Let me read to you out of Genesis chapter 1. How many of you read Genesis chapter 1 before? Anybody? Yeah? Pretty awesome stuff. Anybody confusing stuff? Yeah? There's some confusing stuff in there. Genesis chapter 1. Now, I'm not going to read all of Genesis chapter 1, but I'm going to read to you a series of patterns. Read to you a series of patterns, and I want you to see if you can catch a pattern. Here we go. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. There was nothing. There was the Spirit of God. Watch this. And God said, let there be light. Verse 3. Verse 6. And God said, let there be an expanse between the waters. Verse 9. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place. Verse 11. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights. 20, and God said, let the water teem with living creatures. 24, and God said, let the land produce living creatures. And God said, God Almighty wants to speak to you tonight. Why do I take you back to Genesis chapter 1? Because it's the story of where it all began. It's the story of where your life began. It's the story of where your life began. It's the story of where humanity began. And out of nothingness, it began by God and His Word. God's Word brings life. God's Word brings life. When God speaks, it brings life. God doesn't send text just to say, hey, what's up? How you doing? Talk to you later. What are you up to? His speech is intentional, and He brings life with it. When God speaks, it brings life. Now, but that's not the only story. That's not the only place. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, God takes Ezekiel and takes him over this giant valley. And in this valley, do you know what Ezekiel sees? Dry, dead bones. Science class, how many of you have seen dead bones? There's two things that you can tell about dead bones. There's two absolutes about the dead bones. First, they did, right? And second, they used to be alive. Ezekiel chapter 37, God takes his prophet Ezekiel, takes him to the valley of dry bones of death, and he says to Ezekiel, God's prophet, the person who delivers God's word, and says, speak to the bones. What does Ezekiel do? He speaks. And what happens to the bones? They come back to life. Genesis 1, life begins with God's speech. Ezekiel 37, life rehappens with God's speech. That's where some of you are tonight. Some of you are in Ezekiel 37, dead. And you need God to speak life into your life. So God wants to speak to you, but here's what God said. Well, let me tell you this. Life began with the spoken word of God. When he spoke, life began. Now watch this. In Genesis chapter 1, death did not enter because of God. Death entered when Satan came in the picture. But not just that. Listen. Death entered human existence when man believed what Satan was saying. When man switched from believing God's word that brings life, and began to take Satan at his word, which brings death. That's where death began. Death is when someone disconnects from the life of God and his word and takes it upon themselves. When we disconnect from God's word, there's death. There's life in God's word. But here's what God said to me. I was praying for you today, and this is what God said. He said, Brandon, some of my children, that's some of you, he said, some of my children have given up hearing me. You've heard in church a lot, hey, do you hear God? Did God speak to you? God spoke to me. And some of you inside, you feel a sense of condemnation when you hear people say, God spoke to me. Because you go, dude, God doesn't speak to me. Will anybody be honest to admit that? Anybody? Okay. Now, I have a very gentle word here from God for you. In the memorization of your mind, never forget this. Here's what God said to me today about that. He said, some of my children have stopped believing that I'll speak to them. And here's why. Because they fix their eyes on the spectacular. Some of you don't believe God will speak to you because your eyes, I'm not talking your physical eyes, maybe your physical eyes, but your eyes are fixed on the spectacular. Brandon, what do you mean by that? 1 Kings 19. For those of you guys that are taking notes, 1 Kings 19. Let me read to you a passage and tell you a story. I love stories, by the way. Totally love stories. Elijah, a prophet of God, what does a prophet do? They bring something. What do they bring? The word of God. And the word of God brings what? Life. And joy comes with that. You're right. Whose word brings death? Satan. Well, listen, Satan's word only brings death if you believe it. Adam and Eve didn't die because Satan tried to twist God's word. Adam and Eve died because they took Satan at his word. They exchanged God's word for his. 1 Kings 19, here's what it says. Elijah, the prophet of God who speaks the word of God that brings the life of God, he lives in this place called Israel, and in Israel, this time, they had had many different kings, and these many different kings had bent their heart away from God and began to worship many different gods. They were God's chosen people who were worshiping anyone but God. And Elijah the prophet rises in this time and he says, God, I feel like I'm the only one in this time. He's kind of having a pity party. Oh, woe is me. Lord, I feel like even the kings and the priests, the people who should be proclaiming your name, have walked away from you. And he says this to God. He says, God, I'm it. I'm all there is. God says this to him. Elijah, go up on that mountain. I don't know what his voice sounded like. Can I be honest with you? The Bible says that God spoke to him, but I don't know what his voice sounded like. But he said to Elijah, Elijah, go up on that mountain, and I'm going to pass by in front of you. If God came to you tonight and said, go outside and stand off in that field, God, I'm going to pass by in front of you, how many of you would be excited about that? Me too. So if God said he's going to pass by in front of you, what would be some things you're expecting? Like, what? You may get a camera, but what are you expecting when God passes by? Like, bright light. What else? What else? He'd be huge. Maybe music, like worship music. Hallelujah. In the background, okay? Yeah, exactly. Flames, like giant fires and angels and all this kind of stuff. Elijah too. The prophet of God thought that too. Here's what God's word says. And the word of the Lord came to him. Elijah, what are you doing here? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars and your sword. They put out your prophets to death by the sword. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain. The Lord is about to pass by you. Elijah's thinking, you just get ready for the fire. You get ready for the flames. You get ready for the angels. And here's what happens. Elijah's standing there. He's standing there and he's waiting. This is going to be amazing, God. I'm the only one and you're going to reward me and I'm going to see something amazing. God's word says, then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. He wasn't in that wind. God's word says, after the wind, there was an earthquake. The very ground that he's standing on shakes, going, oh, it's on now. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And God sent a fire. And he's thinking, here it is. Here it is. And God's word says this. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. A gentle whisper. God said to me today, some of my children, that's some of you. He said, some of my children have stopped believing that I'll speak to them because they've fixed their eyes on the spectacular. And God said this, I'm not in the spectacular, I'm in the simple. Translation. Some of you have fixed your eyes on the worship band as the medium by which God shows himself. Some of you guys have fixed your eyes on the preacher, maybe the knowledge. Dude, that sermon was amazing. I learned some new stuff. God says, I'm not in the knowledge. I'm not in the worship band. I'm not in the amazingness of that song. I'm not in the how amazing that guy's voice sounds. I'm not in that. I'm not in the lights. The still small voice. Listen, God wants to speak to you, and God's word brings you life. God's word will bring you life. He will speak life into the dark areas of your life. You got darkness with mom and dad. God will speak into that, and his word brings life. But if you're looking for the spectacular, you're not going to find it. You're going to keep being frustrated. I'll tell you my journey for a second. Just allow me to rabbit trail. Up until about, I've followed Jesus for about 10 years, okay? I met the Lord when I was 19 in college, and he totally changed my life. And he started speaking to me in some ways, like his word to me would be kind of rare. You guys doing okay back there? You doing okay? Okay. God's word was rare for me. Like, I'd read the Bible, and I'd kind of read the Bible, and I'd try to make it make sense to me a little bit and under my circumstances, and I'd glean some things. I'd learn some things about God and learn some things about his character, but sometimes I'd struggle. I'd be like, man, gosh, Lord, what college do you want me to go to? Oh, gosh, it's not in here. Do you know that the name of the college you're supposed to go to is probably not in here? Now, does that mean God's Bible's jacked up? Mm-mm. Doesn't mean it's flawed. What it means is that God's word, literally, by the way, the Bible was originally called the canon. The reason they called it the canon is because canon in the original language means measuring rod or measuring stick. It's the standard by which we measure everything. See, God speaks to us in many ways. One of the ways he speaks to us is through this right here. God may reveal to you and say, I am this. You're reading a passage. You're reading this passage out of 1 Kings 19 and going, wait a second, God. Wait. So, like, you're not trying to do the spectacular, massive, amazing thing. Sometimes you speak in the silence, in the quietness of my heart. God reveals that to you. That's God speaking. Sometimes God speaks to you, you're driving in your car. God spoke to me today in a coffee shop. Sometimes God speaks to you as you're walking through the hallway. Suddenly you see that person next to you in, from science class, and your heart becomes burdened because you know what she's going through. You kind of overheard a conversation, and you got to hear that, and your heart becomes burdened. You feel like you need to pray for her. Guess what that is? That's the Spirit of God speaking to your heart, God's voice. God's voice brings life. Up until about eight months ago, my mind was, well, I read my Bible every day, and man, I'm trying to hear God's voice, and sometimes I hear it kind of, but I don't know, and all that kind of stuff. And I had someone really mentor me, and I've had some people really encourage me and say, man, Brandon, if you get quiet, clear your mind, and you listen, and you submit yourself to God, God will speak to you. You know, the reason I'm standing here today is because God spoke to me in the quiet one morning in my room at home. Northwood had come to me and said, Brandon, would you be our student pastor? And it was very hard because I had an incredible relationship with some awesome students at the school that I taught at. And here's the problem. There's not a page on here that says Brandon should be the student pastor of Northwood Church. It's not there. It's not broken. It's still the measuring stick. It's still the canon. It still declares God's word to us. And so I had to get down and get quiet. And I had to get quiet before the Lord. And as sure as I'm standing in front of you, here's what I heard the Lord say. Brandon, you will be the next student pastor at Northwood. He said, my will's not always easy. He spoke to me. And he'll speak to you. I believe with all my heart that God wants to speak to you. I believe it with all my heart. But some of you fixed your eyes on the spectacular, and you're missing it. Let's go back to the simple. Let's kind of clear away the distractions. One more passage that I want to share with you tonight. And then we're going to let God speak. Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to read to you verse 1 through 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. I love that part. I'm like, really, Matthew? Thank you. I mean, really? I fast for 40 minutes and I'm hungry. Jesus fasts 40 days and 40 nights, and Matthew says, behold, thou wast hungry. Thank you, Matthew. Appreciate that. If your name's Matthew, please forgive me. I'm not mocking you. But anyways, verse 3, the tempter, the devil. Remember what the devil did in the garden? What did he do? He took God's word, and he tried to get Adam and Eve to believe a distortion of that word. And death came by Adam and Eve unplugging from the word of God that brings life. And what God said, don't eat from this tree, you can eat from this tree. Unplugging from it and taking Satan at his word, and that's where death came. Watch this. He was hungry. The tempter came in and said to him, "If you really are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." If you really are the real deal, you speak to these stones and you make them bread. Satan was appealing to his natural needs. If you need food, raise your hand. This would be the point where all of us raise our hands, okay? If you need food, raise your hand. So watch this. Satan was taking a very natural need in Jesus' life. Jesus was a physical being. Yeah, he's the Son of God. Yeah, he's God in the flesh. Yeah, he's always been. But in the 33 years that he walked this earth, he took on the form of a man, and he took on the very needs of a man, a woman, the fleshly needs. In terms of food, oxygen, Jesus needed to breathe. Jesus went poop.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He was a man. Now, watch this. Jesus needed food. And Satan comes to him and he says, hey, if you really are the Son of God, take these stones and make them bread. Jesus needed bread. Not that complicated, right? Jesus could have went, bam, watch this. Boom, bread. Not just any bread, Sister Schubert's dinner rolls from, you know what I'm talking about? Can I get an amen out there? Anybody? Okay. And if, yeah, anyways. So go to Walmart and let the Lord bless you with that. Frozen foods aisle, okay? Anyways, he could have done that. He did not do that, however. And here's Jesus' response. Listen carefully. This might be one of the most important things I say to you in our entire time together, whether this is the first night you've ever been here and you decide never to come back again, or whether you and I are hanging out together for the next 20 years of our lives. This might be the most important thing I ever tell you. Jesus says, Satan, man cannot live on bread alone, but only by the word of God. Man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. See, Satan was appealing to a very natural need inside Jesus. Jesus, understanding the way that this world works, is that man, you and I, are not just natural beings. Ray's tired. He's natural, right? I'm tired. You know, we sometimes like, oh man, I'm tired. We have these physical needs so that we need sleep. But that's not all that we need. We need God's word because God's word brings life. And Jesus said, listen, man can't live only on bread, but by the words that come out of the mouth of God. Listen, that means that Jesus is saying that for your earthly life and for my earthly life, true life is only possible by a combination of meeting your natural needs, but also meeting your spiritual needs by the word of God. Look at me. You only have life if you are taking in both of those. You only have life if you are taking in your natural needs and the word of God. Where does God's word come? Here. It comes here. It comes walking down the hall, sitting in your car. It comes in many different places. But God's word brings life, and you and I cannot have life, true life, if we don't have a combination of those two. Now, let me pause for a second and just be real honest with you. Satan kicks some of your tail with this right here. Satan appeals to the natural needs that you have in this life. And for some of you, he owns you with that. Maybe needs like acceptance. Do we need acceptance? Yes, but not by a man. We need acceptance by God. So he appeals to natural needs, natural desires inside of us to distract us from the eternal and spiritual things that we have to truly live. Man cannot live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So I'm sitting in the coffee shop. And I say this to the Father. Father, you've told me to tell these students that they cannot live without your word. I got to be honest with you. They've heard the verse before. They've heard sermons on it before. You got to show this to me. you got to show this to me. I mean, literally, Lord, teach, show me so I can show them. And then you know what the Lord did? He showed me. Here's what it looked like. Watch this. A father and his teenage daughter walk into the coffee shop, real close, side by side. They open the door. They walk in. The father comes up with the daughter, goes over to the front, asks her what she wants. She's 16, 17. Ask her what she wants. She says she gets some frothy beverage with foamy stuff on top. He did too. I question his masculinity, but that's neither here nor there. They both get a drink, and they walk over to a table, and they sit down at the table. And she's sitting there, and I'm off in a corner, and I'm scanning. I like watching people, and maybe that's kind of stalkish or weird, but so the father's sitting right here, right? And it was really clear this was a father-daughter. They looked very similar. And she's a teenage girl. And time for a second. Let me tell you a little background for me. I saw this moment. I saw this father and this daughter walk in, and my heart was full of joy because what I saw was what I hoped would happen with my daughter and I in the future. I thought, dude, this is amazing. Maybe this guy's got off work early so he can sit down with his daughter and tell her how much he loves her, tell her how much value she has, tell her how much worth she has, tell her how much she means, the creativity inside of her, her intelligence, all this kind of stuff. I thought, dude, this is amazing. One of the things I do to my Hannah, almost every day she sees me, probably 40 or 50 times a day, I tell her that she's beautiful. I say, Hannah, you're beautiful. I call her beautiful. And she can't say beautiful, so she says, full. Hannah's beautiful. She goes, full. Hannah, full. Here's why I do that. First of all, she's beautiful. Second of all, I want her to have heard me say she's beautiful 5 million times before some jerk guy who has impure motives approaches her and tries to woo her away. You tracking with what I'm saying? Okay. I want my daughter to have a storehouse of truth about her value and her worth spoken into her long before anyone ever comes and tries to deceive her. I speak words of life to her. Back to the coffee. So we're sitting there, and the father's right here. The father's right here. She's sitting right here, and watch what she does the whole time. The whole time. There's a father who gave her life, who cares for her, who loves her, who values her, and she is more interested in talking with other people than the very one who gave her life. Man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The father provided the coffee, her physical need, but what she really needs was not coffee. She needs affirmation. Teenage years stink. They're tough. I'm not gonna lie. I've taught for 7 years. You guys go through some hard stuff. Some of you have hard stuff that you go through because of your decisions. Some of you go through hard stuff because of decisions other people make around you. Some of you, your most difficult things in your life are the decisions your parents have made around you, and it's not your fault. Teenage years can be tough. But what that girl needed more than anything was the life-giving words of her father spoken into her, but she was more interested in talking with God knows who. Close your eyes. Would anybody be honest to say that's where I'm at tonight? With your eyes closed, raise your hand. Gentlemen, just because you're not a daughter doesn't mean you're not there. You can put your hands down. Appreciate your honesty. So God wants to speak to you. And the final thing the Lord told me tonight, I'm honestly scared about, with your eyes closed. Here's what he said to me. Brandon, let me speak. So we're going to sit in silence for a little bit. And I want you to clear out thoughts, distractions, people next to you, and let the Lord speak, not in the spectacular, but in the simple. And you mentally write down what you hear him say to you. He's a loving father. What is he saying to you? If God just told you to say something out loud, I want you to say it out loud. If God just told you to get right with someone in this room, you need to go do that right now. If God just told you to surrender to Jesus, you need to do that right now. With your eyes closed, if God spoke his still small voice in your heart and spoke to you personally in these last few moments, I want you to raise your hand. If God did not speak to you, don't let anyone heap condemnation on you. Don't walk away saying, God must not love me. Don't do that. Go home, get quiet, and listen. and what you hear, there's only two responses to the voice of God. Believe what he says or obey what he says. That's it. Believe it or obey it. Believe it or obey it. Keep your eyes closed. Well, I'll tell you what. Cameron is going to sing a song over you. We sang it a few minutes ago. In light of what God wants to say to you, don't get distracted by anyone else. Cameron wants to sing this over you. Let these words minister to your heart. God created music, and it's one of the ways that he speaks. And it's a way that we speak back to him. Let Cameron sing this over you.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing love. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mark the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
God certainly blesses when we gather together. If you need to get with someone in the room and silently pray right now, do that. If you need to get right with someone, do that now. This is a time of ministry to each other, hearing from the Lord. Pray with each other. Don't be that guy that says the dumb thing that distracts someone's prayer time, right? So you just get with each other and you minister to each other and you talk with God who wants to talk with you, your loving Father.
My sin upon his shoulder. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my shame that held him there. Until it was accomplished, his dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in any. No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
They're going to keep singing. This is a worship room. We're going to stay in worship. If you need to slip out and go, you can. I'm glad you're here. Thanks for coming. Visitors, thanks for being here. Guests, really glad you joined with us. But in an attitude of worship, the altar bit up here is open if you need to come and gather. The band's got one more song that they're going to sing. You're welcome to slip out if you need to go catch a ride. But we're going to worship in here. If you guys want to come up here and worship real close up here, that's awesome too.